Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Oh, yeah. You've been waiting all week for this, the Growing in Grace podcast, a fresh new one here for you. That guy over there, he's Joel Brzezinski, and they Hello. Call me Puddin' Tame. Ask me again, I'll tell you the saying. You know who that is, right, Joel?
Nope, but I know the saying.
Well, I'll tell you who I think of. Barney Fife.
Barney Fife, okay.
Yeah. The Andy Griffith Show, yes, Barney. I think he was pretending to be a prisoner in the jail cell there at the Mayberry Jail because they had another prisoner in there, and he was going to try and, you know, get some intelligence, go undercover. So the other prisoner asked him, what's your name? That's what he said.
Okay. Well, because I always heard, like, someone say, what's your name? And then you'd say your name, and they'd ask me again, I'll tell you the same. I didn't, but I never tied. See, I like Andy Griffith. But I'm not a nut like you are about Andy Griffith, so I haven't seen every single show.
Well, you need to get off that Welcome Back Cotter bandwagon and get going.
Yeah, I'm a Welcome Back Cotter nut. Hey, question for you. If somebody was to donate to our ministry, like send us some financial support, serious question for you, not really. What would you blow the money on?
Pizza and bacon. And chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Oh, chocolate. Okay. See, I should have consulted you before I sent this email. But it's, I'm joking around here, but we did receive a very nice email from somebody. He said he went to our website, enjoyed what he had heard of our podcast, and found that there was no donate button, and he would like to donate. And I basically, I was just being funny, and hopefully the person took it that way, but it basically said, if you send us a donation, will basically blow it on excessive bacon and pizza. And now ice cream and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, imagine a ministry without a donation button. And I don't want to come across as somebody who thinks it's wrong to ask for donations if you're a ministry out there sharing the gospel. Joel and I worked in Christian radio for a long time. It was a listener-supported station, so we know can I say, Joel, that I don't miss that at all? I liked the radio part of it, but when we had to do those share-a-thons, it was just, for one thing, it was very tiring, and it was just stressful because it was hard to, to get blood out of the turnip sometimes when you were trying to get people to call in.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing, and again, like you say, it's not that. It's not that there's anything wrong with a listener-supported ministry or with a ministry that receives donations. For example, if we were to perhaps like advertise worldwide, you know, or had some sort of advertising budget where it's thousands of dollars, trying to get our podcast heard more and more and more, blah, blah, whatever. There could be a thing to say, hey, would anyone like to help us with this? You know, it wouldn't be like, hey, it would be nothing like we're trying to pad our own pockets. It would be simply to get the word out more. We just simply haven't done that. We just don't do that. It's the ability that we have through the internet to get around the world. It's just very easy for us to get our podcast out there. So we just haven't ever felt the need or the desire to seek donations. And like I said, we just don't really need to. So not that a person or a ministry can't. It's just that that's not the way that we've gone with this.
No, and we appreciate the thought too, by the way. That's very nice. Because, I mean, it's a little bit amazing how this thing has transpired into what it has over the last nearly 20 years, where it's just really been word of mouth. As you said, Joel, the internet obviously helps. But even then, it's still somebody telling somebody else, or somebody just stumbling onto us, stumbling, you know, by accident, quote unquote, and seeing it grow to the point that it has, with all the thousands of potential listeners from around the world. It's just amazing how this thing has unfolded the way that it has without, you know, I don't remember for sure, Joel, but I'll have to look through the book of Acts again and see if the apostles used like billboards and stuff when they were sharing the good news.
I don't know. The billboard on the road to the Damascus.
You know, send out an advertised telegram to bulk mail.
Yeah, really. And put it on Spotify. And you know, that's the thing. 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago when we started this, there was no such thing as, that I know of, Spotify, Pandora. The word podcast itself, I mean, it wasn't even a thing. If it was, it was very rarely used. But then times have changed, and it's just made it so much easier to get this thing into the ears of people, so to speak. So, and it's just been a real blessing that we can do it. Like I think I told this person, the tiniest fraction of what it used to cost to run a radio station, a local radio station. So we're happy to do it the way that we do it. I guess that's my thought on that.
Yeah, just motivated from the heart to be here, sharing this message of Jesus Christ with people. So one of the things that we have grown into talking quite a bit about over the years is a phrase that you might be quite familiar with if you've been listening to us for a while. It's called the New Covenant. And I wrote a book on the New Covenant called Clash of the Covenants. It's just something that it's been a centerpiece of some of what we talk about here, along with the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ and all the many things that many of us have been taught over the years through church teaching and so forth that turned out not necessarily to always be right, or to miss the context and understanding that there was an old covenant that Israel was under, and there is a new covenant that came into place after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And even within this topic, Joel, as you know more than I do even, just because you've interacted with people more about it, even within this topic, there are a lot of different people who think many different things. So let's take a look at some of this and why some people will sometimes knock on our door and tell us, you're wrong.
Yeah, that reminds me of an email I got one time from somebody that the subject line of the email was, "You're wrong, Joel." I'm like, okay, I really want to listen to what you have to say now. But that is kind of the way that some people have approached us. And I'll just say, I'll try to be kind here, but on this particular subject where there are people, and I understand where they're coming from, there are people who believe that the new covenant was only for Israel. And I've heard their explanations, and I get it. I understand where they're coming from. We obviously disagree, and we'll share why. We'll share some of that here today. But unfortunately, in probably 99, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, 98-99% of the times I've been in conversations with these people, they are the rudest, most obnoxious people. And that's not to say that everybody who believes in that is that way, but the people who have come knocking on our door, whether it's comments on our YouTube videos or comments on Facebook or whatever social media, that's just the way that it's been. But that's aside the point. So the subject matter itself, here's what we'll say. You know, it's true that in Hebrews 8, the writer of Hebrews is quoting from the Old Testament. He says, first of all, he says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless," and so missing a lot of context here, but for the purpose of what we're talking about here, we're talking about this new covenant in Christ. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." So there was going to be a need for a second covenant, a new covenant, because finding fault with them, God finding fault with the people who were under that old covenant, he says, and then he quotes, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And so people will say, well, so this covenant was only for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And they will give their explanations, and I understand all that. However, one thing that is missed, I think, in a lot of this, and there's so much that I've shared with people over the years that helped to show how this covenant ended up being not only for them, but also spread to the Gentiles. It was also offered to the Gentiles. In Ephesians, Paul says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in flesh with hands. So this is Ephesians 2:11. Now verse 12, that at that time, so this is before Christ, at that time you, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So that was the state of the Gentiles before Christ. They were without Christ. See, Christ has always been. It's just that he appeared as a man, you know, 2,000 years ago. But anyway, the Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So anything that had to do with Israel, Gentiles were aliens from that and strangers from the covenants of promise. You can look throughout the Old Testament and see the covenants, especially the Old Covenant. And they were without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near to God. And we'll see in other places that Paul writes about this, that not just generically Christ, but the new covenant as well. Paul does talk about the Gentiles in regard to the new covenant in other places as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that too.
Well, yeah, one thing that comes to mind on top of what you just said, which was really pretty meaty. Ephesians 2 is big in the mix in all of this, but also 2 Corinthians 3, Paul writing to Gentiles here, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That's a mind boggler there if we don't skim over it, but not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient or competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then he goes on from there. The point being that he refers to them as being sufficient or competent ministers of a new covenant. This is not exclusive for Israelites to come to Christ. I mean, Christ is the covenant, Joel. I tried to make this point in my book, is that ultimately it's not like a written document that's put on stone. It's not some sort of a quid pro quo where God says, I'll do this if you'll do this. This is something very different, and it's contained, like many things that we talk about when it comes to the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. These things like truth, life, love, the covenant, these things are contained within the person of Jesus Christ. It goes beyond ideology. It goes beyond just something written down. And yet Paul uses that phrase here, the new covenant phrase, as he's explaining to these Gentile people, because you got to remember, obviously Paul was Jewish, right? There may have been Jewish people in the mix with some of these in this area where the Corinthians lived. But you got to remember that for many years, centuries, Jews and Gentiles, as you were just alluding to in Ephesians chapter 2, they were essentially separated. Jews were not, you know, according to the law, they were not to be interacting with Gentiles. And yet, all of a sudden, here's Paul invading Gentile territories with the good news of Jesus Christ. He is going to have to, at some point, lay some sort of foundation as to, this is how it was for us Jews, you know, under the law, and God redeemed us from it through Jesus Christ, and you who didn't have the law, now it has opened up the door for you to come to Christ and life and righteousness in the same way that we Jews have, apart from works, and by faith. It was going to be part of the conversation at some point. That's the danger sometimes of, as we've talked about many times even recently, the danger of just chopping up verses and honing in on them with our spiritual binoculars and not understanding the bigger picture sometimes of what is being written by somebody like Paul in this case.
Yes, exactly. The big picture is so often missed when we just look at the verses. And that's one reason why we recently went through a big chunk of Galatians, because you can rip some verses out of Galatians and make a certain point, but when you look at the thing as a whole, it makes a world of difference, showing the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and the law that those Galatians had never been under, but that the Judaizers were trying to put them under, and showing Paul showing them, hey, this is what it was like to be under the law as a Jew. You don't want to do this. You don't want to. Why do you want to do this? I mean, it changes your outlook and your understanding of what you see in Galatians and in other places. So we'll have more to say on this. So we'll pick up on some of this. But one of the things that we'll address, in case we're leaving anybody hanging here, is more on the new covenant and how Jesus had talked to his disciples. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, you know, at the Last Supper, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Well, Paul brought that up to the Corinthians, you know, those very words of Jesus to the Corinthians when referring to Gentiles. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Paul quoted that to Gentiles, so we'll talk about that. And then some people, I know this is a small, not a very big view, but some people say that it was only those who were under the law who were confined under sin. Only those who were under the law. The rest of the world, Gentiles, they weren't under sin, they were just far off. Well, we'll address how everybody, the whole world, was confined under sin and needed Jesus. Everybody needs the blood of Jesus. So we'll talk about that and a few other things coming up next week on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.